Are you all set for Christmas? Yeah, not long. Well, the story goes, a pregnant mother took her little daughter to one side and said to her, "Darling, guess what? This Christmas, I'm going to give you a tiny baby brother. I want you to know that when he comes, he's going to hurt Mummy quite a bit, but it will be so wonderful. Just think, you're going to have a baby brother." Sure enough, the baby was born that Christmas. The next year, the mother asked the little girl what she wanted for Christmas. So the girl paused for a moment and she said, "Well, this year, if it doesn't hurt too much, can I have a pony?" Aren't children wonderful? I'll ask David at 6:30 tomorrow morning. Yeah, okay. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift is from above. And at Christmas, we celebrate the most wonderful and amazing gift of all. In his gospel, St. John put it like this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So let me mention briefly several things about God's gift of Jesus. The arrival of Jesus Christ was firstly an expected gift, I wonder what you've been expecting this Christmas, and I don't mean a whole lot of stress. Sadly for some, this season is Stressmas, as you might call it. The gift of Jesus, his arrival on earth, was something expected for many centuries. Over a period of 500 years, there were some 300 prophecies written about Jesus, including a prophecy that his birthplace was, of course, to be Bethlehem. Now, if Jesus Christ were some kind of an imposter, he could hardly have ensured he lived up to all those things predicted about the Messiah, especially not the details of his death and burial, and least of all, his own birthplace. That would be really hard to stage manage, wouldn't it? Not only was there a steady stream of biblical prophecy pointing towards an expected Messiah, there was a growing idea in the whole ancient world that something special was about to happen. In fact, many people believe that some kind of messianic announcement was imminent. For example, Virgil, the Roman poet, began to think that Caesar Augustus himself was the awaited saviour. And so by the time that Jesus was born, there was a general expectation that an act of God would bring a person into the world who would deliver mankind from its bondage and limitations. Not surprisingly, therefore, wise men came to Bethlehem, probably from as far away as Persia or Iran, as we now know it, bearing gifts for a king they spent a long time searching for. And underneath all this growing expectation, there was a longing, a deep longing in people's hearts, a longing for deliverance from their situation, a longing for freedom, a longing for peace. And you know, despite that all we have today, there is still a longing for change of some sort in people's lives. And I don't mean Brexit, okay. There's a longing for change deep down, a longing for life to be different, a longing perhaps for something more than we have at present. And maybe we have a longing for yet more material things, thinking they'll make us happy. But even if we had all the things we wanted, there'd still be a kind of emptiness inside us. And that's because we have this deep void, a hole inside us that only God can fill. And the reason for that, well, God made us, he made you and me to live in a relationship with him. And until we have that, nothing else can satisfy us. And Jesus came that first Christmas time that we might begin to have that connection with God and have our deepest hunger satisfied. Which leads me to say that Jesus is not only the expected gift, he's also the essential gift. Isn't it nice to actually receive something at Christmas that you really wanted, something you really can't do without, something that's a pleasure to have, and something that you think is really essential? Unfortunately, what you think is essential might not be what your family think is essential. Over the years, I've received some unusual presents, including the most amazing socks. I was once given a pair of socks with an embroidered, with a picture of Homer Simpson kissing Marge under the mistletoe. Don't bother trying to see if I'm wearing them when you come forward for communion tonight. I'm not. They're not that essential. The single most essential gift is God's gift to us of his Son, Jesus Christ. Why is that gift so essential? Well, only Jesus can show us what God is really like and how to live properly and how to live well, peacefully, in this world. But even more than that, Jesus came to bring us into this personal relationship with God. And he did that by first dealing with the barrier, this barrier that exists between us and God. It's a barrier made up of all the things that we do wrong and our natural self-centeredness, our thought patterns, the things in our past that perhaps we're ashamed of, whatever it happens to be. And you see, our greatest need is actually forgiveness. And that's why God sent us a Saviour in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how St. John puts it in his first letter. He wrote this. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. A gift, of course, is something we receive from someone else that we don't have to pay for, otherwise it's not a gift. And we receive the gift of God's mercy and forgiveness, actually at no cost to ourselves. Just as children reach up to receive a gift and have their hands outstretched, so we come to God in faith to receive God's forgiveness and his mercy and grace in our lives. And so the gift of Jesus was an expected gift, an essential gift, and thirdly, an everlasting gift. However good the gifts we receive at Christmas, sadly, they don't last forever, do they? Perfume gets used up, socks get holes in, and chocolates go very quickly, especially in our house. But the gift of Jesus is an everlasting gift because he's promised never to leave us or forsake us if we put our trust in him. He is the only person who is totally reliable, trustworthy, and will always be there beside us. And his word endures forever. Listen to these enduring promises of Jesus. You know, to the struggling, are you struggling? To the struggling, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And to those who are worried or anxious, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. To the lost, to those searching for meaning to life, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And to those wanting to know more about God and have a relationship with him, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And to the grieving, to those afraid of death, for those perhaps for whom Christmas is a very sad time, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Jesus is God's expected, essential, and everlasting gift. And finally, briefly, Jesus is an expensive gift. I wonder how much you've spent on Christmas this year. Well, according to the Bank of England, we spend an average of £800 per family each year. Does that sound about right? People say it's not the cost of something we give, but the thought that counts, and that's true. But if you really deeply love someone, you won't count the cost as you might with others. Many of us give our most expensive gifts to those we love and appreciate most. And God is the same. He gave us the very best. As I said at the beginning, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." It's sometimes hard for parents when their children leave home and they're left alone. And harder still if they know they might be going off to a tough or even dangerous situation. But that's what happened that first Christmas time. You see, Jesus willingly obeyed his Father. He came to this hostile world that would reject him in order to save it. And he did so at great cost to himself. And St. Paul described it like this. I'm going to quote from the Living Bible Translation. He writes, "Your attitude should be this, the kind that was shown us by Jesus Christ, who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men, and he humbled himself even further, going so far as actually to die a criminal's death on the cross. Yet it was because of this that God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let me just say one little extra thing about the extraordinary gift of Jesus. Why do I say he's extraordinary? Well, not only did Jesus come to die for us and all the things we've heard about, but he actually came also to live in us by his Spirit in a most wonderful way. And that is very exciting indeed. He appeared in a manger. And when we take him into our lives, he's there by his Spirit. He's there in residence. If he could appear in a mucky stable, there's no reason why he can't reside in us despite all the grot in our own lives. God's presence in us by his Spirit can transform us completely by filling us with love and joy and peace, and no other Christmas present can do that for us. And we need the presence of God's Holy Spirit in each one of us. So, how about you this Christmas? Will you receive the gift of God's Son, Jesus? Will you be wanting the Holy Spirit to fill you, to overshadow you, and to reveal God to you? I'm going to pray, and as I do, you can make this prayer your own with a simple word, Amen, at the end. Dear God, I thank you for Jesus and all that he was about. I don't understand it all, but he does seem rather different. And Lord Jesus, I want you in my life. I ask you to forgive me and to fill me with your Holy Spirit, and to remain with me forever. So come, I pray, this Christmas night. Amen. We're going to stand and sing once more about Jesus, who is the light of the world. Let's stand and sing.